Going to be reading from John 16, 5 through 16. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. We're going to talk this morning about a rather confusing subject for some. I know it has caused a lot of questions and confusion with theologians down through the years since the beginning of the church. And it is a bit of a difficult concept to understand how there is three beings, if you will, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we've got one God. Remember now that the Jews, they believe in the Old Testament God. The Muslims, for example, they believe in their God. They also believe in Jesus, but he was just a prophet. And there was an aging Jew crossing the street in front of a Roman Catholic church one morning, and he was knocked down by a hit-and-run driver. And as he lay there on the street, the priest come running out of the church. He was going to administer last rites. And he looks at the Jew and he says, "Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost?" The Jew looked up at him and said, "I'm dying, and you're asking me riddles?" Peppermint Patty went to the store counter and she, getting ready for school, she says, "Yes, sir, I need some school supplies, some pencils, some paper, a loose leaf binder, and some answers. I need a lot of answers." And don't we all? We need answers. We want answers. We see life from an earthly perspective, and we want to see facts and proof that things exist. We live on our Christianity by our faith. And that's where the Trinity comes in. And I figured today was a good day to talk about the Trinity. It's Trinity Sunday in most Christian calendars. And so it's good to talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And how do we explain that? How there's three beings or three entities or three representations or however you want to look at that, how there's three in one. There's a lot of different analogies to that, and theologians have tried to explain it down through the years. One good analogy would be a Greek play, where you see the Greeks, the actors with the different masks. It's one actor, but all the different masks, all the different personalities, if you will. Then you can look at something like water. Water is normally in a liquid state. If you get it cold enough, it becomes solid. If you get it hot enough, it becomes water vapor. So you've got three different ways that you can see water, but it's still water. And that's kind of like God. John Wesley has an explanation for the Trinity. He says, think about it this way. In a dark room, you've got three candles. You light each of those candles. You've got three lit candles providing light. But it is all one light in the same room. You can't distinguish between which candle is actually lighting up the room. And in fact, they're all lighting up the room. So there's three in one. Now, those aren't perfect explanations. And I don't know that there is a perfect explanation for the three-in-one concept. St. Augustine, he struggled with it some. He became a Christian in about AD 386, And he wrote sermons and such. And he became a bishop at one point in Northern Africa. He was wandering along the beach one day and he saw a young boy who had dug a hole in the sand. And he had this cup, and he would go over to the ocean and he'd get a cup of water out of the ocean and he'd pour it in that hole and he'd go back and went back and forth. And St. Augustine says, "What are you trying to do?" The boy says, "I'm trying to pour the ocean into this hole." And the bishop laughed. He says, "That's impossible." The child looked at him and said, "It is no more impossible than for you to put Almighty God into your small mind." Think about that. We see the greatness and the vastness of God, and it is within us because of the Holy Spirit. So what is the difference, like the child said? And then we think about situations like, think of Alice in Wonderland. She chases the rabbit down the rabbit hole, winds up in this dark hallway with doors all around it. She tries all the doors that are all locked. She can't get out of this dark hallway. She's wondering, what am I going to do? So she comes back to the middle of the room and notices this table. And she walks around to the doors again. They're still locked. She sees a key on the table. She thinks, okay, that key might work. So she tries it again. Eventually, she comes back to that table and she happens to notice something she hadn't noticed before. There's this door that the key fits perfectly in. But if she opens up the door and she looks inside, there's no way. She couldn't even get her head in there, let alone the rest of her body. She's thinking, well, this is not going to do me any good. She turns around and looks at the table again, and there's this glass of water or whatever you want to call it on there, and it says, "Drink me." She says, "All right, I'm game. I'll take some of it." She drinks some of it, and she shrinks down to about 10 inches. Great, now she can fit in that hole. But she forgot she left the key up on the table, and now she can't reach the key. And that's kind of how it is with how we understand things sometimes. We try so hard to make things a certain way, to explain them a certain way, to make things come out how we want them to come out, and they just doesn't work out that way. We are still as confused or as lost as we were when we started out. And we have to take some things on faith. And that's where the real explanation of the Trinity is. It's not about facts. It's not about somebody walking up to you and saying, well, this is how it is. This is how this works. We got this and this and this, and it actually equals this. You can't do that. We don't know a lot of things in life. We don't understand a lot of what goes on around us. We've talked some about many of these things before, about why do people suffer? The problem of evil. Why is life unfair sometimes? Well, it just is. What's the purpose of aging? Why are we here? I remember growing up, that was one of the big things. You see the cartoon of the wise old man up on top of the mountain, and you walk up there, and why are we here? I don't know. We're here to worship God. That's all I care about. And that's all that's important. It's about faith and trust. There's an ancient Chinese proverb that says, the bird does not sing because he has an answer. He sings because he has a song. And that's how we are supposed to see life. It's not because we have all the answers. It's not because we expect to get the answers. It's because we have our life. We have a song. We have a path that God has us on. And it may be a mystery to us. We may not understand where He's leading us or why He's leading us there. But it doesn't matter. Just like understanding the Holy Trinity really doesn't matter. We know it exists because Jesus says there is a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. The Bible never says Trinity. That's a man-made thing. In fact, there's only a few verses in the Bible that actually say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are implications to that in about a dozen verses where Jesus says things like, I and the Father are one, or the Father is in me and I am in the Father. It's implied. The verses I read this morning talk about how he has to go to the Father before the Father will send the Holy Spirit. So we've kind of developed this idea that there is three in one, when really it is one God. But it is how God represents himself to us. God, as great as he is, as omnipresent and omnipowerful he is, squeezed himself down into the body of a little baby and became Jesus. But it was still God. And when Jesus left to go back to God, and they sent the Holy Spirit to put in our hearts to guide us, it's still God. In Genesis, it talks about in the creation how the Spirit of God moved across the water. Spirit, but it's still God. So I don't really understand the whole concept, but is it necessary for me to understand that whole concept? What I need to understand is God exists, Christ exists, and the Holy Spirit exists. And that's all that's important. It's kind of like the old saying, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. It's about trusting the Bible. It's about faith in God. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to understand all the little ins and outs of it. It's not that important. We wonder why things happen. We've talked about how tragedies happen in our life and good things come out of them and different things like that over the past several weeks and sermons. There is a lady, a wife of Peter Marshall, who was a well-known minister back in the 40s, and she contracted tuberculosis. And back in those days, I don't know about around here, I'm not that familiar with the area, but in Arkansas, where we came from, there are several places where they built tuberculosis centers or hospitals, whatever you want to call them, so they could isolate these people in one spot. It wasn't that they really thought they were ever going to cure it, but they would keep them away from everybody else. Well, she wound up in one of these hospitals, and the doctor said, well, the only thing that we can do for you is you just have to get bed rest, lay in the bed. She laid in the bed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and she waited and waited, and she prayed and didn't understand why had God afflicted her with this. And in her staying there in that bed over the next 15 months, she started to get some insights, and God was talking to her through the Holy Spirit, and she started writing things down and wrote books to help people understand about Christianity. And after she'd been in this hospital for 3 years, miraculously, she was cured of tuberculosis. Not because of anything that the doctors had done, not because of anything that was given to her of this earth, but because she had prayed about it, she had faith about it, and she had done what apparently God wanted her to do. She had written down thoughts that he had given her to help other people. And things like that happened through the Holy Spirit, from God, and we just have to accept that. We accept that those things happen. We accept that there is Christ and the Holy Spirit and God. We accept that he is with us every day. We accept that we can trust him to lead us in the right way. We can accept that we can trust him to always think of our best interest, to do right by us. And one day it will all be revealed to us, standing face to face with God. St. Paul wrote in Corinthians, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And he's talking about what we're talking about this morning. We see things through like smoked glass. You can see things on the other side of that glass, but you can't get the full definition of what's on the other side of that glass. You see darkly. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be. We are supposed to go through life. We see what God wants us to see. We can see life around us. It is not necessary that we see in focus and full color the detail of what's going on. It doesn't matter, because one day we are going to change our address and stand in front of God, and we will know all those answers. He'll tell us all about it. There was a high school who was going to put on a play. It was a poor high school, so the teacher took the script and cut out all the little parts and handed them out to the students in the correct order, one at a time. So they got up there to practice, and it was a disaster. Nothing went like it was supposed to. So he said, all right, I want you students to sit down here, and I'm going to read this play so that you can kind of understand what's going on. And he read through this play, read the entire script to them, and when he was finished, they looked at the teacher and said, okay, so that's what it's all about. And that's how it is with us. We've got all these little pieces. We don't necessarily know how they go together, but one day God's going to read us that whole script and show us that whole puzzle put together. He's going to explain it all to us. C.S. Lewis says the most frequently spoken word in heaven is, oh. Think about it. As in, oh, now I understand. Or, oh, now I see what God's plan was. Or, oh, now I see the reason for the trial that I went through. And you can kind of see what C.S. Lewis is talking about. Because I know I'm going to stand up and go, oh, okay, now I get it. And that's what it's going to be like. We don't have to understand it here on earth because we know it exists. We know that one day God's going to explain it to us and we'll know the whole truth. Paul wrote to Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. It's about belief. It's about what God has entrusted to you. It's about how God wants us to see the world. He doesn't expect us to be like Him and know everything. All He expects is for us to live our lives, do the right thing, listen for Him to tell you when you're going in the wrong direction, do the right thing, go in the right direction because He has directed you that way, and trust Him. You have to have full trust in God. And I know that's real hard for us. We've talked about that before, about how we always have that little doubt in our minds. Oh, we want to believe. We want to trust. We want to know that it's going to go the way we expect it to because God's going to get there. But there's always that little devil on our shoulder saying, well, maybe not. But we have to trust. We have to have faith, and we have to understand what God wants us to understand. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God in three different representations. It doesn't mean that there's three different people. It means there's three different ways of seeing God. It's just how we see Him. It's just how He interacts with us. And each one of those representations is a little bit different and means something a little bit different to us. We see God as the great creator, the great physician. God is all-powerful, and there we see Jesus, which is just another part of God, as the person who saved us because God came down to earth to save us. He knew that was the only way it was ever going to happen. And we know there is a Holy Spirit inside of us. We feel it. We know that that's our pipeline to God. But it is still God. One God. In three different ways of seeing Him. Three different ways He portrays Himself to us. Three different ways He means things to us. And that's what the Trinity is about. It's not about understanding how one being can be three beings. It's about understanding that He exists and that those representations exist. And that's all we need to know about the Trinity. Amen.